Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for joining us, whether you are tuning in over the radio or streaming us on chapelboro.com. We've got a whole lot to catch you up on before we get you ready for some Diamond Heels baseball in just a couple of hours. Let's take a look at some news from downtown Chapel Hill today as one of the major roads got closed off for a good hour on Tuesday today, this morning, due to reports of a carbon monoxide leak. The Chapel Hill Police Department and Fire Department responded to what they said was a potential gas leak as it was happening in the 100 block of East Franklin Street shortly after 11 o'clock this morning. It led to traffic detours and some delays as buildings on the north side of Franklin Street from the Wells Fargo Bank to the Four Corners restaurant were evacuated. Shortly after Dominion Energy crews arrived on the scene and took a look at the situation, the Chapel Hill Fire Department said shortly after noon the problem had been addressed. A spokesperson for Dominion Energy later told us here at 97.9 The Hill the incident today was caused by an issue with customer-owned equipment. Another kind of gas, gasoline, is also in the news today as we are seeing many local gas stations experience high traffic. After a cybersecurity attack over the weekend shut down the Colonial Pipeline, a major gas pipeline for the entire East Coast, word from the company was some gas supplies could be briefly disrupted. That news has led to more community members going to buy gas, not just yesterday, but today too, with long lines forming at some of our gas stations. We saw the Circle K here at University Place have a line literally into the road and down South Estes Drive as people were awaiting their chance to try and get some gas. Now, Governor Roy Cooper has declared a state of emergency of North Carolina only to waive normal fuel laws and improve supplies by bringing in fuel in a more expedited manner from outside of the state. He also shared a tweet today saying he has spoken with the Federal Energy Secretary that the Colonial Pipeline should be fully operational very soon, meaning that people should not rush to top off their gas tanks. Turning to local government, residents of Orange County and especially Chapel Hill might be facing higher property taxes this year. It's all part of the local budgeting process as it gets underway in our community ahead of the new fiscal year. 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck has more.
It's not a perfect budget, but I'm willing to work with you all and make it better as we go forward.
That's Orange County Manager Bonnie Hammersley presenting her $279 million proposal to county commissioners last week. She says it's a budget characterized by cautious optimism about the future, in contrast to last year when local officials had to craft their budgets in the midst of a still new pandemic. The good news is that many of the worst fears did not come to pass. Officials expected a 5% drop in sales tax revenue for instance, but the county actually saw a significant increase instead.
Sales tax collection represent the bright spot in the revenue forecast.
But the biggest challenge for Orange County's budget is not COVID-19. Rather, Hammersley is calling for a 3-cent property tax increase to help pay down the debt from a $120 million school bond that voters approved back in 2016. County leaders had planned for gradual tax hikes over a period of several years to cover that debt, but they elected not to raise taxes last year amidst the pandemic. Now Hammersley says the county has to make up for that delay.
Because the money's been borrowed, the money's been spent, and we start paying it back this year.
Hammersley says she's taken steps to limit that additional tax burden, including the use of federal COVID relief funds from the American Rescue Plan and an across-the-board 5% budget cut for most county departments. The plan would also close the McDougal Library branch, reduce hours at the library's main branch in Hillsboro, and put off pay increases for county employees. And Hammersley's budget also does not include any per-pupil increase in school spending.
This is the second time that an Orange County manager has recommended no increase. The other time was 2009-2010 due to the recession.
Meanwhile, in Chapel Hill, Town Manager Maurice Jones is also proposing a 3-cent property tax increase in order to restore some of the funding in town services that were cut or postponed last year amidst the pandemic.
The total budget is nearly $117 million. That is a 5% increase from the current fiscal year.
The proposal includes a 3% pay raise for town employees who went without one last year. And among other things, it also restores funding for new positions, building maintenance, vehicle replacements, and the town's climate action plan, plus more funding for street resurfacing and human services.
We are trying to be mindful of the effect the increased valuation will have on the commercial and residential property owners, while also helping the town restore the cuts that were made in fiscal year 21, and to begin the process of investing in a number of our strategic initiatives that both the council and the community have called for.
But some town leaders and residents expressed concerns about a 3-cent tax hike at last week's town council meeting. Mayor Pam Heminger said she was especially worried about residents in the Northside and Pine Knolls neighborhoods who are currently appealing after seeing their property values spike in this year's revaluation.
If Northside and Pine Knolls and Pine Flats don't get the reduction in the valuation, this tax increase is going to kill them. And that's just not okay.
And Katie Luvis of the Chamber for a Greater Chapel Hill Carborough said a property tax hike would affect local businesses still struggling to emerge from the pandemic.
Our local businesses who are tenants in properties are going to receive that exact increase. And it's a pain point. It's really painful.
For both Orange County and Chapel Hill, the budget process is only just beginning. Orange County will hold a public hearing on the budget tonight at 7. Then county commissioners will hold budget work sessions beginning on Thursday. In Chapel Hill, the town council will hold its first work session on Wednesday with a public hearing to follow next week. Visit orangecountync.gov for more on the county's budget process. And for more on Chapel Hill's budget, visit townofchapelhill.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Aaron Keck.
And now time for a look at our sports around the community. The Diamond Heels are back in action tonight after a break from their schedule for final exams. Carolina is set to take on the UNC Greensboro Spartans here in Chapel Hill just a couple of hours from now. The Diamond Heels are aiming to once again have a winning record after a losing streak dropped them below 500. They currently now, after beating Campbell last week, sit at 21-21. They are entering the home stretch of the regular season, so getting above 500 would be good to try and get that momentum. And it begins tonight with left-hander Sean Rapp taking the mound for Carolina. First pitch in that game between the Tar Heels and UNCG Spartans set for shortly after 7 o'clock tonight, and you're going to be able to hear it all right here on 97.9 The Hill. In soccer, a second-half goal from Santiago Herrera proved to be the difference in Monday night's NCAA tournament quarterfinals as the UNC men's soccer team earned a 2-1 victory over number 5 Wake Forest. The Demon Deacons scored the game's first goal in the 10th minute courtesy of Kyle Holcomb, but then UNC struck back just 32 seconds later thanks to a goal from Giovanni Montestioca. The score remained the same until the 68th minute when Herrera pounced on a rebound shot to put UNC ahead for good. The win gives the Tar Heels their 9th College Cup appearance and their first since 2017. They now have a semifinal date set against Marshall awaiting them on Friday. Now the women's program already punched their tickets to their own College Cup. Set for Thursday night against Santa Clara, the Tar Heels will be playing in their 30th Final Four match with sights set on competing for their 22nd national title. Head coach Anson Dorrance spoke to the media earlier today ahead of that game and said if his team can get to the title game and win it, it would be one of the most incredible achievements in college sports history based on how many players the team lost throughout the last year or so and the challenges created by COVID-19. He also said how fun it would be to be playing an old familiar foe.
Santa Clara is an extraordinary team. I watched them play. Jerry Smith and I go back to the beginning in terms of rivalries. Back in the day, we would collide with them on a regular basis in the NCAA tournament. They have won their share of games because he's an excellent coach. They have excellent players. So this is going to be an incredibly challenging game for us. And we're excited to still be a part of the tournament.
Once again, UNC women's soccer head coach Anson Dorrance speaking there. That game, once again, set for Thursday evening at the Carey Soccer Complex. And the UNC women's basketball program announced earlier this week that Etoro Coleman has joined the staff as an assistant coach after she spent the last year in a similar role at Marquette. You might recognize that name. Coleman was a three-time All-ACC selection as a player at Clemson, where she would then go on to serve as both an assistant coach and as head coach for the Tigers. She's also had stints as an assistant at Penn State, Butler, and Liberty during her coaching tenure, and her hiring comes in the wake of assistant coach Carrie Moore leaving the Carolina program for a similar role at Michigan. So welcome to the UNC women's basketball staff, Etoro Coleman. I'm sure Courtney Banghart is looking forward to having that addition on the bench for this upcoming season. One local nonprofit held a groundbreaking ceremony recently for its new clubhouse. Founded in 1987, Club Nova serves those in the Orange County community who have a serious mental illness, such as schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and major depression. The nonprofit provides opportunities for those folks by helping them with employment, education, and emotional and social support. The new clubhouse for Club Nova is going to be on West Main Street in Carrboro, and it will offer a variety of amenities and services to better support members in all areas of their care. 97.9 The Hill's Elk Harris has more on the project.
The Club Nova Community Center and Clubhouse is being revamped after the nonprofit's previous buildings were falling into disrepair. The former facilities at 103 West Main Street in Carrboro included two buildings with crumbling foundations, leaking roofs, dangerous staircases, limited accessible space, and overcrowded areas for study and job preparation. This new building, to be erected in the same location, will be an overhaul to fix those problems. The fundraising goal for the new Club Nova site is $4.3 million. So far, the nonprofit has raised $3.5 million. With these new funds, Club Nova plans to build a new, fully accessible, state-of-the-art clubhouse. Some of the features of the planned 9,000-square-foot, two-story building include a greenhouse and garden, a stargazer terrace, a 70-person dining room, and a full commercial kitchen. The nonprofit plans to go from serving 45 people a day to more than 100 with these new amenities. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle said Club Nova plays a critical role in helping those who suffer from serious mental health concerns, especially following what has been a very difficult year.
As we're in the moment of just reminding people, it's okay to feel however you feel, you know, and in particular for folks who already struggle with mental health, it's another challenge, so.
The groundbreaking of the new Club Nova facility also coincides with National Mental Health Awareness Month, which is recognized during the month of May.
This year, the theme is You Are Not Alone, and kind of talking about how hard the last year has been, not just on all of us, but particularly folks who have, you know, different kind of, mental illness, and just on top of that, dealing with the pandemic and all the stressors of that.
With 1 in 25 people living with a serious mental illness, Club Nova hopes to provide relief to those suffering and the tools for a brighter future. You can learn more about the new renovations or donate to the building campaign at clubnova.org. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
And in some news out of the Chapel Hill Public Library, they are working to adjust their practices to allow for library patrons to once again pick up their books and materials inside the building. That has been closed since March 2020 as they have attempted to adjust to the pandemic and still kept their services going for a long time thanks to their park and pickup service, which was outdoors. And these patrons were able to hold their place online, park at the library, then collect their books at the main entrance, really make it non-contact. But starting this week, patrons will once again be allowed to go inside the building to pick up their holds. To get ready for this change, the library is closed today and will be again tomorrow, reopening Thursday in this plan. And it is just step one of the library's overall draft reopening plan, which has even further steps to getting their offerings to the community back to normal. You can find that full plan by heading to chapelboro.com.